The St. Luke Institute in Maryland is a Catholic psychiatric hospital that has treated sexually abusive priests with some success, and it is now in danger of losing its accreditation. The institute is under review following the recent suicide of a patient, a priest who had been accused of abusing four boys. NPR's Beth Fertig reports on the treatment provided by St. Luke and other church-run facilities.
Only a handful of places that specialize in treating sexually abusive priests are run by the church. The St. Luke Institute in Silver Spring, Maryland, is one of them. The hospital treats priests and nuns with a variety of psychological problems, not just sexual disorders. The Reverend Stephen Rossetti is a psychologist who heads the program. He says it's set up like any other psychiatric facility, though there are some differences.
The style of treatment is very similar in terms of the psychological aspects. There are staff members are board-certified psychiatrists, licensed psychologists, and social workers, and it's a very standard clinical program. What we add to that, of course, is a strong spiritual program as well.
This includes daily mass and prayer and recovery groups. In treating sexual abusers, Rossetti says the approach is similar to treating an addiction. Like alcoholism, pedophilia is not considered curable, so the treatment focuses on changing behavior.
If someone has a sexual problem, we need them to stop that behavior, first of all, and then to reorient their personal lives. For example, if someone has a problem with minors, we're going to want them to develop good peer relationships with other adults. So we'll have a behavioral program in place where they're no longer connecting with minors, and then an aggressive program of them relating to their own peers.
Other treatment centers for sexual abusers are run on an outpatient basis, but St. Luke's is a residential facility with 70 beds. Patients stay for several months, and the waiting list can be up to 6 months long. Dr. Fred Berlin is the founder of the Sexual Disorders Clinic at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and he assisted St. Luke's in developing its program 20 years ago. Berlin says St. Luke's and Hopkins both rely heavily on individual counseling to reinforce the work patients do with their peers in group therapy.
That provides an opportunity to confront any denial or rationalization or minimization that may be present. The group also does provide emotional support because many of these folks are in need of that kind of nurturance as well. There's a lot of discussion about what needs to be done in terms of lifestyle in order to avoid situations of temptations that may not be able to be handled well.
Both St. Luke's and Hopkins also use medications at times to suppress sexual desires, and their recidivism rates are comparable. In a 5-year study of 120 pedophile priests treated at St. Luke's, fewer than 3% are known to have relapsed. The rate at Hopkins was also less than 10%. However, there are several differences. Though St. Luke's is a psychiatric hospital, it doesn't take patients who pose a known danger to themselves or others. And since a recent suicide of a priest accused of sexual abuse, the hospital has taken steps to make the rooms more suicide-resistant, and it's added more round-the-clock nurses. But there's a much more significant difference between St. Luke's and other treatment centers for sexual abusers. The patients at St. Luke's are all priests who have taken a vow of celibacy. And that limits the options for treatment, says A.W. Richard Sipe, a former priest and retired psychotherapist who's treated pedophiles.
With a person who is not in a celibate culture, you can make some substitutes for that. And so if they find other avenues for sexual outlet, that would be considered progress. In terms of the celibate culture, there is no alternative other than abstinence.
And some critics are wary of the treatment offered by Catholic-run institutions like St. Luke's because they're funded by the church. Jeffrey Anderson is an attorney in St. Paul, Minnesota, who's represented hundreds of plaintiffs in lawsuits against sexually abusive priests.
When we look back at the last 20 years, the Catholic hospitals, the Catholic institutions, and the orders that have so-called treated these offended priests have really not done that. And the Catholic hospitals, the Catholic institutions, and those affiliated with them have really participated in the whitewashing of many offending priests.
Anderson points to a church-run treatment center in New Mexico, which was shut down in 1995 after a series of lawsuits over sexual abuse by the priests in its care. But even when treatment centers do make appropriate recommendations, they aren't always followed by the bishops. St. Luke's, for example, diagnosed the former Boston priest John Gagan, who's been convicted of child abuse, as a homosexual pedophile. but the church allowed Gagin to continue parish duties. Without commenting on any specific case, Father Rossetti says St. Luke's doesn't hesitate to warn against contact with minors when diagnosing a patient.
This is not summer camp. You know, no one gets off light here. We tell the bishops the truth about where this person came from, where they are today, and our clinical recommendations for the future.
However, he says what the bishops do with that information is their responsibility. As Catholic bishops now consider tightening their own policies, some treatment experts think facilities like St. Luke's will take an even harder line when recommending that abusive priests have no more contact with children. Beth Fertig, NPR News, Washington.